So it's always a pleasure and an honour to share with you, but always a challenge as well. So it's called the sharing is called Expectations and Intentionality. I only had the title up until 2 weeks ago, which is not quite the way I normally do things. I normally spend several weeks rolling into months preparing, taking from my own life experience, but basically this is from my life experience. Psalm 31 verse 24 says, "Be strong and take heart, all you who wait upon the Lord. Be brave, be strong, don't give up. Expect God to move for you. Expect God to move for you." Our expectation of God's goodness is a demonstration of our faith in him. And it is a witness to others. As we hope in him or wait on him, those words are interchangeable, it actually does us good. It helps us to think in a right way. Then thinking will affect our feelings and our actions. So instead of perhaps experiencing panic and fear in times of extreme pressure, we do have the opportunity to come into peace and more faith. I just want to share a short anecdote of how I spectacularly failed in this recently. The day before I moved, which was the 27th of June, moved house that is, I used the shower downstairs as I had cleaned the larger bathroom upstairs ready to hand the house over in such glorious condition. And I didn't want to mess it up, but I hadn't used the downstairs shower for years. And when I did, it leaked a huge amount of water all over the floor. So this is a Sunday morning. I texted Hanalee, this was before church, who I knew would know what to do and would come alongside me. I thought the worst, the shower must be leaking in the foundations from underneath, and the whole thing would cost thousands. I was expecting John France to come around with a stepladder that I was going to need for the move. So I said to God, "That's good, because John will have a word of wisdom. He always does in difficult circumstances." And when he came, he looked with the water on, and we could see water spouting out of the side of the shower. And that was kind of a relief to me, although I had my suspicions that it was leaking around. It was a semicircle thing. However, I still needed Hanalee, and I texted again. Still no response. I phoned her, and that didn't work either. At lunchtime, I decided I'd go round and talk to her, because I know about what I know about Hanalee is that even if she was the busiest person in the body of Christ that day, she would help me. I drove 50 yards out of my close and I saw a young man who I knew. He likes to be called Gilbert. It isn't his real name, but he's quite a lad. He had recently started working for Coastal Bathrooms. I knew that because he drove a van with that on the side. We did have a bit of a connection. He'd caught my dog when she had bolted too fast out of the boot of my car, and he'd also washed my car for me. And we always spoke on passing. I told him the issue, and he said he would come once he'd taken his nan out for Sunday lunch and then celebrated his girlfriend's birthday. He is a delightful guy. He came at 7:30 that evening and sealed the side leak and also the leak around the front. I was so happy. What did I learn about myself? Because actually I felt sick with fear at the prospect of what might be the worst case scenario, what you might call fearful expectations. I did believe that John would have a word of wisdom, and he did, and this definitely helped to adjust my thinking, and it was the beginning of peace and faith. I also learned the importance of making connections in the neighbourhood so that I could ask this young Gilbert for help. I learned as well that God has a solution that might not be the same as mine. And what else did I learn about God? That he is absolutely marvelous. He is always good, And as Graham Cook would say, he's the kindest person I have ever met. So I didn't move straight into peace and faith. I moved into fearful expectations, but it is an amazing lesson, and I have learned a lot for the next time when I'm challenged with something which is beyond my control and I feel I am threatened to feel overwhelmed. So I need to always remember that God is always good and he always has a solution. Having a solution, I often say to him, God, you've got a solution for this. It's such a good way to move your thinking from difficulties. God, you've got a solution for this. Our expectations are most often the effect of either hope or fear. It's observable from my time as a health professional that when a patient has an expectation or hope of recovery, this can cause a considerable improvement in their condition. I've also seen in my experience in ministering to the dying that once someone loses all hope or expectation for good, then death will ensue quite rapidly. It is not possible to live without hope. For him, that hope may well need to change along the trajectory of his journey. Maybe his hope now is that he can see his wife in the garden or his children might visit him. But it's still hope and it's still a very powerful thing. How extraordinary that thoughts in our minds can drive outcomes in the physical realm. And that's a huge thing. It's an ongoing revelation for me, really, that it's not just our words that have the power of life and death, but also our thoughts. So we need a healthy mind and a right way of thinking. Our expectations for good are like a hinge between hope and faith. Hope gives birth to faith, and its first visible steps of life are positive expectations for today and tomorrow. If expectations are powerful enough to change the course of a disease, if they are powerful enough to give birth to faith, we need to ensure that our expectations are joyful expectations for good. If we have a tendency to be afraid, then our expectations will be fearful expectations. We will be afraid of what is going to happen next. Instead of being bold and strong and expecting God to turn up soon. So I have an example of fearful expectation, and I'm sure you probably have some as well. So I have a friend who, if she gets blessed with money, goes, oh my goodness, what disaster is going to befall me that I need this money? Me, if someone gives me money, I go, wow, thanks Lord, how are we going to enjoy this? Okay. In our recent difficulties in the pandemic, there has been a lot that has the potential to cause us to think in fearful ways. But if we think in fearful ways, we will start living that way. So there's that scripture, as a man thinks, so he is. So we need some real determination and intentionality to see a renewing of our minds. Much of that renewing and a right way of thinking is down to our choices. For instance, what we eat impacts our bodies and our health. We are what we eat. What our minds eat has a major impact on our minds and our lives. This is true of what information we might take in from any source, books, newspapers, TVs, tablets, phones. We have to be intentional. And also not just taking in information like that, but meditating on past difficulties or negative events will also produce fearful expectations. I don't advocate that any of us try to change all of the things all at once, because we would be overwhelmed by the task. The Lord is happy if we take one step intentionally towards him and his ways, away from our ways. So at some point this week, just ask the Lord, what are you touching in me in regard to this, Lord? Because I want to line up with you. I want to agree with you. I want to move closer to you. For me, sometimes I'm nearly always asking for an increased hunger in the Word of God. I think as I have more of the Word soaking in me, being digested and laid down as a foundation, it's like food for the body getting digested. But this is the Word of God, and it will bring joyful expectations for good. It will increase faith. Then these things bring a real substance for my moving forward. Okay. Another thing where I need intentionality is when I'm tired, perhaps due to lack of sleep or moving house or both. And the intentionality I need is to continue in fellowship, especially in the evenings, when it might be just a little bit easier to sit in the armchair with the TV on. But I've tested it time and time again, and I've gone to meetings. My life group meeting in particular has been an absolute source of life to me when I've felt so tired and empty and so in need sometimes. But I'll go to any meeting where there are Christians in the evening, especially when they're on Zoom, because it's so easy. And I've tested it time and time again, and it works. It's really worth it for all of us to make that choice. He is worth it. So next time you're really tired and would prefer to go to bed, make that choice for him. It's so important to make the decision for God and for good each time. We always know which one it is, and we don't always choose it. But if we do, it will lead us closer to him and further in our destiny with him. He has plans and purposes for each of us. And I really want to walk in his purposes and his plans as opposed to my own ways. I want to transition from where I am to where I can be, where he sees I can be. Never think you are too old. Never think you are too insignificant or too weak or too much of a failure. These would all be hindrances to moving into a new season with God. And they're not the truth of what God thinks of you. If they're not the truth, they're lies. Esther transitioned from an orphan to a queen. David from a shepherd to a king. Nothing is impossible with God, but he needs us to think like he does, to intentionally come into agreement with him and his word. And as we do, we will be increasingly filled with good expectations and a hope that leads to increasing faith. God loves us despite our weaknesses, our addictions, our going round in circles with the same issues all the time. But he wants us to move on from there into a new season of freedom with him and not to be stuck in the same state. If we're not moving forward, we are stuck. One thing that came to mind instantly was Lot's wife. Lot and his family were fleeing from Sodom. God was going to pour down sulfur, I think it was, on the city because of the sin that had occurred there. But Lot and his family hesitated, but the angels that were there took them by the hand and ran with them and then said, when they were clear of the city, flee for your lives and do not look back. So it was a command from heaven, do not look back. Lot's wife did look back, and she became a pillar of salt, seriously stuck. And it is a warning to us. We're not to look back, either to yearn for the old days or to look at the destruction and negativity of our past lives, even of yesterday. Of course, we may need healing from the traumas of our sins and the sin that's been sinned against us. But if we need counseling or deliverance or healing, let's seek that out so that we are not stuck in our past. looking back seriously hinders moving forward. We can also be stuck in lies about ourselves. I'm not good enough, smart enough, I'm too weak, I'm too naughty. Everyone else is better than me. But Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. But sometimes lies are so rooted within us that it seems almost impossible to stop hearing and believing and meditating on those lies. And truth has difficulty taking root because the lies are filling up so much space inside. And if you're having difficulty stopping believing the lies, then there are several of us in the fellowship who can help you to be unstuck from the lies, because there's no room for truth if the whole area is filled with lies. There is a process called lie busting, and several of us are lie busters. So if you're still listening to lies, meditating on lies, it will be affecting your feelings and your action, your very life. So, you know, get unstuck. Book a lie bust if that's what's going to help. Get some help. We can keep going on around in addictive circles and get stuck in an ever-spinning pattern, whether that's chocolate, poor food choices, too much wine, too much TV, too many games. Now, games might seem a nice way to relax, and don't get me wrong, I love relaxing and I think rest is a wonderful thing. The older I get, the more I do of it. But things like Scrabble and Solitaire, I've had them on my iPad. They haven't been on there for years because I noticed that I was addicted to them. I was turning to them as, I don't know, I have absolutely no idea. I was addicted. So I removed them, and you know whether you're addicted, because they sound quite nice, don't they? Scrabble, that's helping my brain power and increasing my word power. But actually, it is okay because all things in moderation. But if you have tendency to addiction, that you might be addicted to something that seems totally innocent. So you know whether you are or not, and I would just challenge you to remove it from your iPad or whatever your tablet is. We can get stuck in our own comfort zones, both in our Christian ways and in our whole lifestyle. But I know that God is on the move. I know he isn't standing still. So much in his word is about journeying onwards and coming into more of him and more of his kingdom. When did you last do something a little different from the way that you have always done things? I'm part of a small prayer group that meets every week, and we meet on Zoom. And the way we worship before we do our prayer is by singing in tongues, because as everybody knows, if you try to sing a song in English, all singing the same tune on Zoom, it's an absolute nightmare and just doesn't work. Well, it does work if you want a good laugh, and if you need a good laugh, that's probably a good way to get one. So we would sing in tongues maybe for half an hour, and we'd done that for quite a long time. But recently, in the last 2 weeks, we decided that we would just listen to one person singing and worshipping in tongues or interceding in tongues, and then another person, and then another person, until each person had done it. And that was so refreshing. And then we did something which I think is absolutely beautiful, where the men sing in tongues together. And you can sing in tongues together on Zoom. It works. And then the ladies responded. And, you know, it was beautiful. And it brought fresh revelation and fresh joy and fresh visions. So just a simple thing like that, can mean, can make such a difference. So just give everything you're doing, especially in our Christian walk, a fresh look to see if there's something you can do that would change things. There's so much creativity in God and so much of the promised land that we have been given that we need to explore and own. So finally, to recap, we need to think about ourselves the way God does. We will find out what We will find out what that is like. We will find out what that is like as we read and believe his word. When our thoughts do not line up with his and we have an ugly thought about ourselves, we can literally bring that thought captive. One thing I persevere to do, but sometimes I fail, but it's a good tip, is if you have a negative thought, never add another negative thought to it, because it's stronger then and it's more difficult to deal with. If you capture that negative thought, and the Word of God says that we can do that, so we practice that, to take captive that thought and then to intentionally think about something good. I think I've written down that lovely scripture in Philippians. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And you can just do that intentionally. Even if you don't feel like it, you can just choose to do it. And it's a brilliant thing to do. So in that way, we will not be conformed to the ways of the world. We will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Transformation is a huge word. Transformed, you know, from a chrysalis to a butterfly, a complete transformation if we are thinking right. Okay. If you recognize that you have a tendency to fearful expectations, acknowledge it, repent, and ask for him to help you to change, because he wants our expectations to be born of hope, of faith, and be joyful expectations of good. This is not all just kind of like theoretical. I met with someone about 10 days ago, and that what they shared with me, my intent was to pray for them. What they shared with me would most of us would find overwhelming. It was full of threat and uncertainty. And I'm not really into false reassurance. You know, I'm not keen on the phrase, everything will be okay. It's not something I use. And I really was, you know, concerned about what I was going to come up with in prayer or even as we talked. But anyway, what happened was we started to give thanks for something absolutely tremendous and wonderful that God had done in this person's life a few years earlier. And the joy of heaven fell on us so that we were completely taken up with celebrating the goodness of God. And it changed the complete atmosphere and our way of thinking. And I know that that continues to be a help, a considerable help for that person to lean back into that and remember that amazing dynamic change that took place at that time. Intentionally decide not to be stuck looking back, but listen and look for the next step forward with God. He's a good, good father. He can be trusted to turn up for you. I know that God is doing new things for all of us, and for us as a church, and for us as the whole body of Christ. He's doing new things, but he wants us all on board in that newness. And so, you know, this is a timely word for us all moving on. So we have a responsibility, not just individually, but corporately, to consider moving on, to transition from what we are to what we can be. Isaiah 43 verse 18 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. I am doing a new thing." I would like to pray, but also if anything has touched you, either come for prayer now, I mean not right now, but when we're worshipping again perhaps, or contact one of us for help if there's anything here, or anything else at all, if you need healing for anything at all, do get prayer. And it's such a wonderful thing now to be singing and to be more of us together again. So, Father, I just thank you for this word, and I pray, God, that you will just take it by your Holy Spirit and quicken it where it needs to be, Lord. Father, we don't want to come to church and not be changed. We want to be changed, Lord. We have a hunger to be more like Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. And God, I just pray, God, that you will do it by your Holy Spirit. Quicken it to us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.